with Victor Dave Stanson of the Hoover Institution, who writes in American Greatness of the puzzles of the Biden candidacy for re-election as president of the United States. It begins and continues through a great deal of information about Hunter Biden, the son of the president, who there are now is now reason to believe was a promoter of the Biden family name to actors overseas in Ukraine, in China, and there are other places mentioned, Russia, for example. Victor, you write of the son and these questions raised about the president. I think they're very good questions, and it does not appear that the Biden administration is going to answer them adequately or at all. And it also does not appear that the Justice Department is going to press this case beyond what we know right now, which is a plea deal that didn't work and it's now in abeyance. I've lost track of what happens next. But you also raise in your remarks at American Greatness that Kamala Harris is equally a problem, Hunter Biden and Kamala Harris, for the Democratic Party. What is it that we're imagining the Democrats want to do in order to win the presidency in 2024? Continue with Mr. Biden, not answer Hunter Biden questions, and continue with Kamala Harris? Is that their plan?
Well, we know two things. Increasingly, from the leaks that come from the West Wing and from insiders in the Democratic Party, they do not want Joe Biden to run again. And they do not want him to be removed by the 25th Amendment or impeachment and a conviction or a debility before his term is out. And that would, and why is that true? In both cases, there's a common denominator. They do not want, rightly or wrongly, they do not want Kamala Harris as president. And she would step in if Joe did not finish his term. And if he has a second term, he surely won't finish and she would be president. So I think what they want to do is leak enough, rumor enough, admit now that Joe is non compos mentis, that he has legal problems, and to ease him through with a reduced schedule to the end of his term and then open up the primary, at which time Kamala Harris will have a fair shot and she will lose. She didn't get a single delegate in the last primary, and Gavin Newsom will probably be the likely nominee and run on the ticket in 2024. And that's how the campaign will be Donald Trump is in jail and he's the Republican nominee. It's pretty clear what they're up to.
It sounds like a plot from Hollywood. Well, excuse me, the writers are out on strike. So it sounds like an AI generated plot. And I account for the fact that right now it looks credible. However, there's something passive about the Democratic plan. Joe Biden is not evidencing to me that he's ready to step aside. I understand the Politico axiom, the court media are signaling that. But do you see it in the president himself, who is 50 years a very stubborn and strong-minded politician?
Well, Lyndon Johnson at this time, remember, in 1967 said no way, no how would he not be the nominee. And he didn't step down till March of 68. So I think there's plenty of time for Joe. I do think he'll maybe even go through the first primary election. He will not be the nominee in 2024. And I say that not with any delight, but when you fall down steps and you fall off a bike and you fall on your face, as he did after that speech at the Academy, and then you think that Mr. Zelensky's name is Vladimir, or that the war in Ukraine is an Iraq war, then you're not up to the job. And we see that with Mitch McConnell, bipartisan fashion. We see it with Dianne Feinstein, and we see it with Joe Biden. And they denied that. But now the American people poll overwhelmingly that they don't feel that Joe Biden should run again and that he's debilitated. And they accept that now. And so their only problem is convincing Joe Biden of that. And I think they have. I think they probably said to him, we are not going to pressure you to step down before your first term is up. We will do everything in our power to deny you have a problem, legal or physical, and we'll cut back on your workday so you can get through the term. And after that, though, we'll open it up. I think that's pretty clear what they're doing. Same thing with Donald Trump. It's you hit the nail on the head when you reference the Wall Street Journal and other articles. I mean, it's clear that these four prosecutors are going to tie him up with gag orders and delays and maybe even put him in jail. And the idea will outrage half the country to the effect that the other candidates will have no oxygen in the primary. And then he will be hemorrhaged by 1,000 cuts and be a, an inert candidate in the general election of 2024.
Victor, I have read speculation that that the two men hold each other in place, Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump, that if one steps away, the other one will be no longer secure because there are younger candidates in both parties to come forward. Do you account for that thinking that they need each other and without the other, they're all gone?
No, I don't, because their problems are different. Mr. Trump will be 78 in 2024, but if you see him play golf,
yeah,
or speak without notes for an hour and a half at a rally, nobody's suggesting, for whatever reason, a man of that age has that. He has almost superhuman energy, and he's very cognizant. He doesn't slur his word. He's very in there, so to speak. That's very different than you. So he's physically able to do the job. The problem he has is, I think his criminal exposure is much less than Joe Biden's, but the Department of Justice and these local prosecutors are all left wing, and their juries are left wing, and they know that at least at the preliminary level, before it goes back on appeal, and it won't go into appeal after the election, that they can indict Donald Trump, and they have a very good chance of convicting him, and no matter what the charges are. And you can see that with the efforts that the contortions and the gymnastics. I mean, they're going back to the 19th century post-Civil War era to get a law, just like Mr. Bragg had to take a misdemeanor campaign violation and, pump it up with something to get it into a felony classification. I don't know what Miss James thinks the argument is in New York, but if we're going to indict every real estate magnate in New York who says that his property is worth more than it is, and Donald Trump, of course, didn't default on the loan. He paid the loan back, for which he placed those buildings in security. I think you'd indict the whole business community of New York. And if we're going to indict somebody who calls up a attorney general or governor of the same party and says, look, there has to be something that hasn't been counted. Well, that happens all the time. That candidates that are in close races, they'll call up everybody in their party, officials or not, and say, come on, look at the vote. Let's do this. And so we're criminalizing behavior that we've never criminalized before, and we're doing it asymmetrically. And everybody in the United States knows that. And what the result is, it erodes confidence in the system of equality under the law and equal application of statutes.
While we're at war, Victor, the polls also show that the American people, right or left or conservative or not, are disheartened. And do you account for that disheartening? Is that going to show up in the vote in November, these two candidates against each other and nobody much voting? We have 30 seconds.
I think so. I think it will. I think, and it's going to favor more the out party, because the in party is the one that is doing something we've never done before, and that is criminalizing politics, especially targeted at and a potential opponent in the general election. But we've got a long way to go, John.
Yes,
we've talked
before
that it's too early to announce a winner or a likely winner.
I know. It's like we're watching a Hollywood movie. To be continued. Victor Davis Hanson. Writing in American Greatness of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.